I'm Dana Carvey.
I'm David Spade.
Fly on the Wall's back for another season now on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
So many incredible guests will be joining us.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Too good to be true.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo coming to you live from the Bill Ford Tough Studio on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Man, I tell you, if one person told me, 1,000 people told me, and it's good news for Netflix because a lot of people are watching this, that the first episode of Quarterback, they used me and you in there, like as if like I was supposed to be so thrilled by this whole thing, which it's nice. I'm glad that they used the show and used our voices, but it's not like we're getting some sort of royalties or anything.
No, not at all, but it's nice to be, you know.
Featured?
Featured, yeah, of course.
Featured a little bit. I still haven't seen it. But I guess it's early. I guess we're talking about Jared Goff or something. I know maybe you have seen it. I haven't seen it yet.
I watched a little bit of it. And of course, Jared Goff's wife is.
Woof.
That woman has some nice breasts.
Oh, yes. Okay, Al.
You know what? I was on her before. I shouldn't say on her, but I mean, I knew of her before Goff made her famous. Like she was up and coming, and I was like, oh man, like who is this?
Lions fans, NFL fans know exactly who we're talking about.
Kristen Harper, yes. And now it's Kristen Goff.
Yeah, she's beautiful. Yeah. And but you know, the thing is, you know, Joe Burrow comes off as like Aaron Rodgers-esque, like out there. You know what I mean? Like.
See, you gotta tell me. I mean, I've seen him, obviously. I haven't seen him in this thing, but you're telling me he's like, what's the word? Maybe like, I guess out there is probably a good way to put it. You're telling me he's just not like grounded?
He's just like a different cat. He's just like, I'm sure in the locker room he's great. I'm sure it seems like all his teammates love him. But I just, you know, he's got the stylist thing going.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's in a way, he's like Aaron because he wants... you know, complete and utter privacy in his life, but yet agrees to do this, just like Aaron agreed to do that whole thing on Netflix about his
Achilles. Yeah, right, of course.
So, you know, can't have it both ways. But I, you know, great player, just a very unique personality. I go out to his golf tournament, I didn't even see him.
Well, he wasn't there, right?
Yeah, I think he got sick or something.
Yeah. Well, at least he still kept the thing going and raised the money and everything else.
Well, his parents were knee deep in everything.
Well, that's good. That's really good. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. Like, I'll watch it just because there's nothing else going on in sports, and a lot of people seem to be watching it, and I'll want to talk about it. But I got to be honest with you, like Joe Burrow, watching that, I guess interesting. There's nothing about Jared Goff that's interesting to me. And, like, the Kirk Cousins thing, like, we already saw him. Like, he was great in the first one. I learned everything I needed to know about him in the first one.
Yeah, but, you know, you now also see him having to deal with the Michael Penix draft pick, you know, where he gets his haircut, how he gets his haircut. I mean, like, you know, it's just, they do a great job with it. There's no question about it. I mean, it just gives you a real feel of what it's like to have to play quarterback in the NFL and then all the things that you have to deal with. And if you are Kirk Cousins, you've dealt with a lot of different criticisms over your career. You've had a really terrific career numbers-wise, success-wise. You haven't won a Super Bowl, unfortunately. But, you know, he goes to the Falcons thinking that, you know, he's going to be the missing piece to a team that has a bunch of really good young offensive stars. And all of a sudden, he tries to play injured and goes through it. And he had no idea that they were going to draft a quarterback in the first round. And when Michael Penix was drafted, I was pretty stoked for Atlanta. I thought that was a pretty ballsy pick on their part. And now he looks to be, you know, their immediate future. And Kirk Cousins still wants out of there.
Yeah, and he's still there, and this is still going on. But did they show that part of it? Did they get him?
I didn't see that part of it. I just, you know, so, but you're going to, I mean, this is part of, because it's from last year.
Yeah, so it's
got
to be.
It's got, you know, it's got the whole thing about Joe Burrow's house getting broken into and everything.
Yeah.
Remember I told you, I saw his house, and I'm like, all right, he's in a private gated community, pretty much in Cincinnati, and it's really in a beautiful eastern part. I think it was the eastern part of Cincinnati. Over by Coldstream Golf Club. And it's gorgeous where they live. But I think the guys that broke into his house came up from behind the house because he lives...
Climbed up a hill?
Yeah, because where this community is built, it's built on these hills that overlook the Ohio River and Kentucky on the other side. So in order to there's no way you could drive down the road and pull up into his driveway and break into the house. You would have to break into the house coming from behind, climbing up a hill, knowing, obviously, that he's playing in a Monday night game on the road.
Sure, sure. And then he had his girlfriend there, Olivia Ponton, or whatever, was in the house, and she was freaking out the whole deal.
Good. You know, she got the cops there and everything. But, yeah, when you see where he lives, you're like, wow. That was something that those guys had to do to get into that house.
I think if you're anybody who is in the news that your salary is out there, like a professional athlete, when you're on the road now, you need to have an armed guard at your house, if it's allowed.
Either that or just have a really good safe.
Yeah, but you just still don't want people roaming around your house to get into the house. You just have security, hire some security guards. You're making $100 million, something like that. Have somebody there all the time. Hire a dude. It's gotten that bad. I mean, that's what these guys have been targeted more than ever now.
Dude, just get some Malamoy dogs and have them hanging out with your parents.
Malamoy?
Yeah.
Eddie?
I've heard of Malamute. Is it a similar situation?
Yeah. I think they're I think that's the name, yeah.
Malamute is like a husky.
Correct. Husky wolf hybrid situation.
A Belgian shepherd. How's that? I mean, that's another name for it.
Okay. Belgian Shepherd. How's that? Yeah, Brian Jones, my former radio partner, and he of CBS Sports, had a Malamute. And
it's a Malinois.
No, but I'm saying he had a Malamute, which was like a wolf type hybrid dog. And he kept it down with a husky dog, you know, so it looked like he could, you know, pull your sled in the Iditarod. And he had it down in Miami. And I'm like, come on. I can't have your Malamute in Miami, for God's sakes. Get this dog up here in the north.
Have a couple of these bad babies sitting in your foyer. Nobody's coming in the house.
Belgian Malinois?
Yeah.
So you would pick a Belgian Malinois over like a pit bull or Rottweiler or a Doberman?
These dogs are smart, athletic. They're used in a lot of canine troops throughout. You name it, they're a part of it. If there could be a part of the police canine units, could be a part of the military canine units.
Okay.
These dogs are amazing.
Yeah. I'd still rather have a human with a gun, I think, as opposed to a Malinois.
This dog would rip somebody's face off if it had to.
Yeah, but then, I don't know.
Smart, athletic. You've never seen the videos of these dogs?
The ones that, like, they'll run up a wall,
yes,
and grab a ball at the top of, like, this 50-foot thing.
Yes.
And do a backflip off it.
Yep.
And then clap their paws together.
Well, I don't know about that, but.
Yeah, no, I know what you're talking about. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, that's all you have to have. It's one of those dogs.
Yeah, I see. My dogs.
You could have a Rottweiler.
Yeah, you could have a Rottweiler. Yeah. I mean, my dogs, I think, like, I don't know what would happen if, like, a stranger. Sometimes, like, if I wear a certain type of hat, like Elvis from Far Away, he'll get, like, he'll give one of those, and I'll take the hat off him. Like, it's me. I'm like, wondering, they would probably, all you'd have to do is give them a treat, and they'd be like, okay. Like, they would not be fighting intruders.
If you remember, Sydney and Matt had Jax.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And Jax is a great, great dog. And as long as he knew you, he wanted to be on you, he wanted to be around you, he was all over you. He was like a unbelievable house pet.
Yeah.
Only one time did somebody walk into the house that shouldn't have walked into the house, and I saw him go into action.
Really?
And it was severe.
Who was it? Clutterbuck?
No, it wasn't Clutterbuck. It was actually a guy that was coming over to fix something.
Oh, okay.
Came walking through the door. We didn't know that he was coming, and sure enough, walked through the door, and that dog reacted immediately. Oh. Like he did. He had no idea who this guy was and just went after him.
Yeah. Well, that's a good thing.
Well, that's what I'm saying. That's
not a good thing for that guy, but it's a good thing.
I'd have a couple of these dogs and have my parents staying at my house.
Yeah, but those are also...
Watch it in a big screen in the basement.
Yeah, but I mean, like, you love your dog, you love your parents, you don't want that, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, hire a guard that you don't have a personal relationship with, you know? Like, that's the thing. Like, I'd hire a guard if you're one of those guys. And, like, I don't need to know you that well. So if anything happens to you, I don't feel so bad. Like, like, if something happens to my dogs or my parents and I'm upset. Like, this guy, if I just hire some dude named Dave and I don't really know him all that well,
mm-hmm. just get yourself one of those Brown safes. That's the name of the manufacturer, Brown.
Yeah.
And nobody can move it. It weighs 1,000 pounds.
I got this.
And good luck getting into it.
I have this giant safe in my basement that came with the house. I mean, oh. I'm talking.
Can you use it?
So we got the locksmith to come and
figure it out.
And then when we called him, when we moved in, because it was like the day we're moving in, we're like, let me try to open the safe. I called him. It was the most confusing combination of all time. Like, you would think it'd be like, 12, 26, 32, whatever. It's like, now all the way, spin it all the way, now 3/4, then left to 12, and then right. And I'm like, I got to the point because I was like, I can't do this. Like, I can't, I'm sorry, I'll call you some other time. That was 4 years ago. So now
that thing is sitting down.
It's just sitting down there locked. I mean, it's taller than you. I mean, it is massive. And we couldn't get it out of the house. Like, we were asking, like, we don't need this thing. Can we get it out? And it's like, oh, my God, the cost of getting this thing out, blah, 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 blah. So it's just sitting there. I think the thing's from, like, 1920.
Wow.
And it's humongous.
Could there be something in it?
No, there definitely isn't, because the locksmith guy came, he opened it up, and then closed it.
Oh, why did he close it?
And there was nothing in there.
But did he give you the combo?
He did over the phone, but it's not, I'm telling you, my memory of this was, it was the single most complicated combination ever. Like, it wasn't even numbers. Like you had to, like turn the knob all the way around, then halfway back, then do numbers, then spin it again. And I'm like, I can't, like, I don't, like, enough of this. Just get this thing out of my house. So, I don't know. If you want a safe, let me know. But you got to get it out of there.
Sounds like it's scrap metal.
Ah, pass gap. But you can't, I mean.
Oh, man, could you imagine that? That thing probably weighs how much? Like a ton?
At least.
How did they get it down in the basement? It's easier to get it down in the basement than getting it out of the basement.
Yeah, and I honestly think it's been there.
But there's got to be somebody out there that's listening to us right now.
That wants this
that
safe.
That knows how to get something like this out of a house.
Do you have Bilkos or no?
What's a Bilko?
Bilko doors? Boomer knows.
Oh. You know, that come out of the basement. Or do you have to take it up the stairs?
You got
to
take it up the stairs. Cool. Yeah. It's got to go up the stairs either into the house or the outside entrance, which would have to be the outside entrance to do it.
Yeah, I would think you'd have to have some sort of hydraulic, cable set up to be able to.
Or somebody comes and cuts it with a cutting torch and then takes it out in pieces.
I mean, that seems like a lot.
Somebody out there's got to be able to do this.
You think this thing could be worth anything?
It may be.
As scrap metal.
Yeah.
No, but, also, I mean, I don't know what kind of condition.
It's in great condition.
What's the outside of it? Like a gray?
It's more like a bronzy type of thing.
All right, so.
Maybe there's a vintage safe collector.
Who would love this thing and knows how to get these things out of basements. But please, contact me.
Yeah, look on eBay or whatever. See if there's any out there.
eBay?
I don't even know.
You still do eBay?
I don't know.
Craigslist and some psycho show up?
Yeah, Facebook Marketplace. Yeah, that's the.
That's what Moose did with this vacuum. Remember that?
Yes. Several things, I think.
Yeah. The Melusa's vacuum got sold on Facebook Marketplace.
I should hire Moose. Tell him to come over to the warehouse.
Yeah.
And say, all right, let's go. I'll give you 20% of everything you can sell on Facebook Marketplace.
Oh, wow. He'd love to do that.
Would he?
100% would love to do that. Now, he lives up in Connecticut now, so it's a little bit tough. He'd have to spend like all day, maybe, stay over or something. Yeah. But he'd love to do that. He loves Facebook Marketplace. And he also loves meeting people in strange parking lots.
Yeah, that's what I heard.
Vacuums. Yeah. That's really what his favorite thing to do is. Tom in Freehold. What's going on, Tom?
Hey, morning, fellas. How's it going?
Good, man. What's up?
Hey, just going back to the security for the NFL players.
Yeah.
All the money NFL is bringing in. Maybe they do a little private armed guard security for the top tier players. Something that comes into the league. I'm sure that Goodell can find another way to make a little profit from that.
Well, I mean,
home security sponsored by
Good. But, I mean, I think it's more like the personal responsibility of the player to figure that out. I mean, that's like a slippery slope. The NFL starts providing security for its top players. Then all of a sudden, it's like, all right, where does it stop?
Like you're not good enough to get shoot somebody, then the NFL gets sued.
Yeah, no way.
Part of that.
Yeah. No way, no how.
Hey, what's up, Flies? This is David Spade.
Dana Carvey.
Look, I know we never actually left, but I'll just say it. We are back with another season of Fly on the Wall.
Every episode, including ones with guests, will now be on video. Every Thursday, you'll hear us and see us chatting with big-name celebrities.
And every Monday, you're stuck with just me and Dana. We react to news, what's trending, viral clips.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Shout out to one of our great sponsors, Flag and Anthem, who has been with us for years now, who has supported Boomer's Foundation at many of his events. They have also provided the shirts for our Portly Villagers Save a Lynn Ryder Cup, and they donated the shirts, and the money for the shirts goes to a local charity every year, as we started that last year. First, we gave the money to the Winter Center for Autism. This year, we're giving the money to the Neighborhood House, which is a local charity in Sayville, and they just do an amazing job with their Madeflex polos. I'm wearing the one today. It's the 2025 Portly Villager Save a Lynn Ryder Cup. I got the Portly Villager logo here.
Does this start today?
It's today, yeah. So last year, if you remember, I had the trophy in here after we won.
Yeah,
and we gotta defend it this year. But it's a big day. It's a very big day. I've got a lot of nervous energy.
I can tell you're up and you're swinging. You're working on your swing.
I do. I got a lot of nervous energy. And then this year, too, like every year, because you know me, when I start getting involved, I get involved.
You're involved.
I'm getting involved. So I got involved with the shirts because I was like, I think Flag and Anthem, you know, would be a great partner with this. And so so now I'm the shirt guy. And then this year now I was there when the matchups were made.
Ooh.
So I was like almost like the assistant captain, and I was sitting there like suggesting the matchups, and I feel even more pressure now.
I think you're a little over your skis in that regard.
No, I disagree.
I mean, like, you do know the guys that you golf with, and
but that's
stuff
what
like
I'm
that.
Saying.
Yeah.
Nobody plays more than I play in that group, and I've played with all of them.
Okay.
So there's like on both sides.
So you now think you know enough where you can pair guys together to get the best out of both.
I'm the captain now. Okay. Oh, well, no. Okay. Sal Graziano's a captain. I'm like sort of like a lower assistant captain. But yeah, no, I not think I know enough. I do. I mean, I've played with these guys a million times. Like there's a...
See this, could you imagine Keegan Bradley dealing with Brooks Koepka or dealing with Scottie Scheffler or one of these...
Well, I kind of felt like Keegan.
Cower.
I kind of felt like Keegan.
But you're not. This. Sal Graziano is.
Yeah. Well, true, you're right. He is the Keegan. I felt like whoever the assistant captain's going to be. But yeah, but like, for example, there's two young guys. Savalin's pumped these two young guys out. One's a two, one's a six. So I threw our crafty vets at him. I got two guys who were sixes that are both like 55, 56, throwing that at the young guys. Be like, you know what? You young kids, you're going to be trying to bomb in the ball, trying to impress everybody.
Experience.
I'm throwing my crafty vets at you guys. One of them being Mike Buck, by the way.
Oh, there you go. Yep.
He's not losing those kids.
No
He's
way.
Not losing a 20-year-old. Oh, you kidding me?
I don't care how far these kids
get hit the ball. See, stuff like that I was throwing out there. So, I mean, so there's a lot of pressure. There's a lot of pressure today.
But just put Mike Buck up there on the tee box, and he'll just totally intimidate those kids.
Oh, yeah, right. And then he doesn't talk to anybody, which is great. Like, people just ask him questions, and he won't even answer you. And then they're like, what's wrong with this guy? And it's all he gets right in your head. And you played with him.
I did, yes.
Yeah, which is...
Did he talk to Boomer?
Yeah, of course. When you're friends with him, I'll talk to you. But if he's like playing a match and he doesn't know you, he'll just completely freeze you out.
No, he might go Ternansky on you.
Oh, my God. I'm sure you guys talked about that last week.
What's this?
The golf fight. You didn't talk about
it? Oh, yeah, on the course, yes. Absolutely.
Yeah, with the
when
four.
The guy just threw him in the pond and then pummeled him.
Yeah. I mean, bang, bang. And that guy came out and apologized for acting like a jerk. I'm like, yeah, okay. I mean, just go away. Don't show your face again, you idiot.
I give him credit for actually showing up after he's got to be totally embarrassed.
Yeah.
By the way, I guess Ternansky, the hockey player, is being investigated by some league he's a coach in. And if I'm like, If I'm like the Islanders or the Rangers, I'm hiring this guy.
Oh,
I want this guy on my staff.
100%.
I mean, get that guy, get him a job, and get him here.
Get him here, makes a ton of sense.
Teach somebody on the Rangers how to kick somebody's ass.
Man, oh,
let's
man.
Let's go.
All right, Jerry, what's happening with you, man?
Well, ironically enough, we are brought to you by Flag and Anthem, real close for real life. And so since you just did that, and this is kind of relatable, fact or fiction? Fact or fiction? Do you know Eddie in Rockland as a caller?
He's an overnight guy, right?
Yeah,
he's the overnight guy.
He called Joe B. and had this to say.
Did you hear about Gio and Boomer on their little golfing vacation in Dominican Republic that nobody knows about right now?
Wait. They went to the Dominican to play golf? No, I didn't hear about this.
All right, so then he would go on.
Gio's been trying to weasel himself into this trip.
He finally did weasel himself into it. Is that what you're saying?
Right, yeah. Well, 2 years of hard golfing, man, that gets you the highest class of places.
Fact or fiction?
Well, it's 100% fiction. I've never tried to weasel my way into that trip. That trip that Boomer takes is in March, and we did not see each other once on this vacation, and we just spoke very briefly.
Mac, where did that guy get that from?
I don't know, but I like
Eddie Joe. Just makes things up out of whole cloth just to annoy people.
Oh, is that true?
And then, I mean, Joe B's, he probably knows that Joe B's the most gullible person in the world, I mean, Eddie Rockwood could have come on and be like, "Hey, did you hear that Gio's transitioning into a kangaroo?" And then Joe be like, "Really? You telling me he's going to have a pouch and carry around a Joey? Now, can he jump, or is that something? Do you take a hormone for that?" I did not notice that he wants to be a kangaroo. All right, interesting. I mean, come on.
All right, so fiction it is. I would find out from you.
I thought when you said fact or fiction, I thought you were going to talk about Willie and him defending himself at his golf tournament.
Oh, I can pull up that audio for you if you'd like. I don't remember if that was Monday or Wednesday, but I was hoping it
was that, because I have the text receipts
that
there's no way he can defend himself.
Okay.
I mean, this is one of those things that, like, in the court of law...
So Willie loses in this case.
Oh, 100%.
And I know exactly what Gio's talking about. That's why if I run my golf tournament, I tell everybody when the tee time is. Just so they know. And most people I trust to get there in time, because they understand what a tee time is.
Right.
You don't have to lie to people to get them there 2 hours earlier to sit around and do nothing.
When's the tee time? 11 a.m. Right there. Show up there. When's the tee time? 1 p.m. Oh, man.
He told you it was the registration that was the early. Yeah.
No, he said tee time.
It says, when is the tee time?
I'm just telling you what he said.
You remember if that was Monday or Wednesday? Because it'd be like a needle in a haystack. But if we can narrow it down to one day, I can find it.
I
don't think it was, actually.
No?
To be quite honest with you, I forgot about it. And a guy called up and brought it up. That's how.
Right.
He discussed it.
So I'll say breakfast at 8:30, range opens at 9, tee off is 10:15. It's up to you. If you want breakfast, show up. If you want to hit some balls, then you show up early. That's all.
Mm-hmm. I'll find it for you.
Yeah, okay. Well, he's got no chance.
Clearly not, now that I see the text.
No chance
at all. You will definitely win in a court of law.
Yeah, I mean, I even that morning, I'm like, listen, man, I'm going to get there as fast as I can. It should be okay. Like, I'll probably have like 20 minutes before we tee off. And he goes, hey, no problem. Take your time. It's okay. Didn't say at that point either. By the way, it's 1 o'clock. And I was there an hour before he was. His own goddamn golf tournament.
Oh, man.
Now you're starting to get exposed to things.
Yeah, loose ends.
Yeah, well, again.
Loose ends!
Right, so I do have 20 years on you, so I've been through all of this
before. Yeah, yeah.
So you're learning. Like, don't lick your golf ball.
Oh, God, yes.
What? So don't lick your golf ball?
Yeah.
Don't lick your golf ball.
So this is a serious thing. So were you here when I told the story about me having the allergic reaction?
Yes.
So I couldn't figure out what it was, you know, and I'm like, it's not nuts because I eat nuts all the time.
Okay. And he ate a whole bunch of nuts.
I had a whole these nuts in my mouth. A
lot of nuts.
And so I'm telling a story to a good friend of mine, Chris Vinay, who is in the golf business and knows everything about golf courses and everything else. And I'm telling him the story. I don't even get halfway through the story. He goes, you licked your golf ball, didn't you? And I said, yeah, I did. And he goes, you can't do that. He's like, you were having a chemical explosion and you were going down like the insects do. And he goes, I learned the hard way too. He goes, I did that years ago, started same symptoms, everything, started freaking out, got in a car and started driving to the emergency room, had to pull over. And then he called 911 and the EMTs came to him and stabbed him with an EpiPen. And like, that's so, it's just, the ball was in an area. They sprayed, like they sprayed every golf course.
Why do you lick your golf ball?
To get the schmutz off it.
Yeah, but here's the thing. Here's the thing.
When I'm about to putt.
What you didn't say is that when you told Chris this story, one of the first things that Chris asked you was, did you play with caddies?
Right.
And Gio said, no, I didn't play with a caddy. He goes, oh, you licked your golf ball. Because normally when you play with a caddy, you'll flip the ball to him and he'll wipe it off on his on his wet towel.
Yeah.
But we were not playing with caddies at Seaway that morning.
Yeah.
So
I had like grass stains on it. So I'm just like, sometimes I'll spit on it and then,
Yeah.
And so I licked it and got the stuff off. Next thing you know.
Yeah. I mean, dude, he blew up like H.R. Puffin stuff.
Yeah, it was. I'm sure. It was brutal. Like, and it kept getting worse and worse.
And I was like, come on, we got to go to urgent care. I was going to sit there. I mean, you did take the Benadryl.
Yeah, and that wasn't working really well. But and then the thing, like, I actually felt, I mean, even though it was a scary moment, I at least was like, felt like, okay, this was a serious situation when they took my oxygen. It was 88 and the nurse like flew out of the room. But yeah, so there's a little PSA for you.
Don't lick your balls.
What about someone else?
If you're into that type of thing.
If you're a dog, you can do whatever you want.
Yeah, right. But don't lick someone else's golf ball either. You certainly don't do that.
Yeah. It's a weird transition back to the Mets. But they did play in Kansas City. They did get the Jeff McNeil RBI triple. They did tie up a 2-0 game in the ninth, but ultimately not enough as they would fall in the bottom half.
Locked in. Mauricio, base hit. Here comes Tolbert. Flying around third. The throw. The dive. He's safe. The Royals win it. And the Royals beat the Mets 3-2.
Yeah, ball game over. Series over, though the Mets did take 2 out of 3. That was the Royals television broadcast on FanDuel Sports Network. They take the finale 3-2. Here was Sean Manaea. He was the pitcher of record there in the ninth inning. Wound up going 3 1/3 in his return and season debut. He stays positive after the loss.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, sucks losing. You never do that. But, for me personally, it just feels good to be healthy and back on the mound. So it's a very weird juxtaposition, that's for sure.
Understandably so. Here was McNeil, thoughts of the inconsistent offense, because we've seen them be up and down all season long. Even in the weekend, they were up and down. Here was McNeil going forward.
We got a bunch of good hitters on this team. I know some hitters who, haven't quite had the first half, they wanted, but, they're professional hitters. They're going to come the second half, and they're going to bring it. And, once the lineup, everyone's clicking at once, it's going to be, it's going to be dangerous.
Which we really haven't seen all too much, everybody clicking at once. Clay Holmes.
Well, hopefully they get their pitching staff together, too. That's the other thing.
No doubt. Holmes, 5 innings, 2-run ball. What has to be better for him in the second half of the season?
I really have to lean into just the ground balls and just how I'm able to control, the contact. Really not be myself, limit the walks.
Limit the walks. That's a big part of it as well. The Mets reached the All-Star break 55-42. Half game behind Philadelphia and the NL East. They'll be home for the Reds on Friday night. As for the Yankees, things didn't go good on Sunday. They took on the Cubs.
Armstrong laces one behind the back. Volpe turns around, throws to first. Not in time. Now the runner comes home and he is safe. Suzuki scores. The roller to second base. A close play at first, but safe was Armstrong, and Suzuki never stopped.
And that was Ricky Ricardo with the call right here on the Fan. Made it 4-1. Yeah, Seiya Suzuki head of steam from second base. That capped the scoring. 4-1, the final score. Dansby Swanson, the tie-breaking two-run homer in the sixth. There was Anthony Volpe on Shota Imanaga, who was really fantastic yesterday. 7 innings, 2-hit ball for the win.
He got ahead of us. His fastball had a pretty good life. And then I think that changeup, or split, blended pretty well. He tunneled pretty well.
I would say so. That having been said, the Yankees are 10 games over 500, and we do have a Thrival player of the game brought to you by Thrival Infusion. He is Giancarlo Stanton for hitting a home run. His takeaways as the Yankees reach the break.
Good points and bad points. Like anything, you should make the adjustments for the second half and try to just improve and get better into the second half and the postseason.
Yankees thriving player of the game brought to you by Thrival, New York's premier infusion and injection center, saving lives drip by drip. Visit thrivalinfusion.com. I'm going to play this for you. You tell me if Emmanuel Babari is trolling us, because he did the game with Ricky Ricardo yesterday. Both Dave and Susan were off this weekend. Listen to this call with the Stanton home run.
Stanton flies it, deep right field, got a chance, Suzuki back near the wall, and that ball is gone. Goodbye. Oh, Giancarlo Stanton, he sat on that one.
Yeah. Yeah, he's not. Yeah, he definitely is not trolling. He's like with us. He's laughing with us. That is awesome. Good for him.
You can sit on my face.
That is good for him. And yeah. He's like, screw it, I didn't get the job anyway, so I'm going to do sit on my face jokes while I'm doing the game.
Still waiting for that facial.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Emmanuel, see, I think it's great. I think he's done a really, really nice job of leaning into this whole sit on the face thing.
Oh, well, there you go.
Good job, Emmanuel.
Sitting on it yesterday. The Yankees will be in Atlanta Friday night. They trail the Blue Jays by 2 games in the AL East. Pretty funny.
He just sat on that one.
In Boston, you had the Red Sox and Rays playing on Sunday. Boston riding a 9-game winning streak.
Two outs, a 2-2. And swung on and missed. Goodbye to the Rays. The Red Sox have swept them. They've won 10 in a row on the way to the All-Star break.
And so they're now 53-45, not far behind the Yankees. Red Sox radio with the call. 4-1 the final score. 10 in a row for Boston. The Phillies did beat the Padres 2-1. Also of note, 7 straight wins for the Brewers, who topped the Nationals 8-1. And Terry Francona, career win number 2,000. Reds over the Rockies 4-2. In golf, we mentioned Chris Goddard wins the Scottish Open. He played college golf, some of it at Rutgers, somewhere else for a year or two. Also from Little Silver, Rumson Country Club, so that's kind of neat. He will now play in the British Open this week at Royal Port Rush. I mentioned the American Century Championship. So here's the way, I guess this wasn't on, it wasn't being televised when it happened, so it's kind of like a recap from NBC with Jimmy Rollins.
And he was calling for it immediately after the ball left the club face. And guess what? It happened. An ace for Jimmy.
And it turned out to be the first hole-in-one he's ever had. And with that, he won a boat. Here is what it is, and then you can tell us what exactly it is.
And Jimmy won a Mastercraft X24 boat for his effort.
Big boat, good boat.
Yeah, I mean, it's
a 24-footer.
No, I think it's 36. Wasn't
it? 36-footer.
I thought it was a 36-footer.
That's what I'm asking.
But it looks like a luxury lake boat is what it looks like, because it has an inboard engine, not an outboard engine. So it's sort of, it looks like a really nice go out on the lake luxury type boat. So not something I would have on Long Island, but out there, Lake Tahoe.
Fantastic.
I'm sure that there's a lot of well-off people that are buying those boats and having a little picnic out on the lake.
Didn't Nicholas Echeverria hit a hole-in-one at the Genesis Scottish Open? I think he did.
Or he won a plane?
No, I think he won a car.
Nice. A Genesis?
Of course. And it may have been for him or his caddy. There was one hole there that was for their caddy.
Mm.
Hole in one for the caddy.
Oh, that's so. Jimmy Rollins. So, yeah, it's not 36. That's got to be 20. That's probably 20, more like 24. I can't really tell.
Yeah, that's a lake boat.
It's a lake boat, yeah.
Are you saying the caddy gets riding to hit?
No. The caddy gets the hole in one if the player hits the hole in one.
That is very cool.
I'm not sure if this was the hole that actually he himself won it or the caddy won.
Very neat. And Yannick Sinner beat Carlos Alcaraz in 4 sets to win Wimbledon.
Let's go to Doug in New Rochelle. Wait, hold on. I'm really screwing this up. Doug in New Rochelle. What's going on, Doug?
Hey, guys. Heard your story about licking the golf ball, getting sick from the chemicals. I got an even crazier one for you. A buddy of mine was golfing in the desert southwest 10 years ago. I don't remember which state it was in. Hit a drive, into the desert off of the fairway, picked the ball up, licked his thumb, cleaned the ball off, licked his thumb again, cleaned it off. He ended up getting hantavirus from probably rodent feces that were in the in the sand, and he almost died from it.
Yeah.
But don't lick your golf balls.
Yeah.
Don't, wow.
Yeah, your dog.
You know, you could have had like some of that geese crap on there.
Yeah, that too. Yeah, I know.
There's geese all over the place down there.
Hantavirus. Maybe I was getting hantavirus. Mm-hmm. And that's how Gene Hackman and his wife died. That's some of the scariest thing ever. That rodent feces, it'll take you down like that. The hantavirus. I sound like you right now.
Yeah, next thing you know, you're eating mouse crap and you're dead.
Not really in this climate, though.
Seamus in White Plains. What's going on, Seamus?
Seamus. Thanks, Bummer.
You're welcome there, Seamus.
I'm really... just to trail on what Doug said there, me and my buddies, we got Rangers embroidered golf balls. So on the package, it says, may it cause birth defects? And we're like, how the hell can freaking golf balls cause birth defects? But I guess half you guys are out there licking them instead of just like putting them in the hole.
Yeah, I think it's more than animals, Seamus. Yeah, I mean, there you go. Yeah.
The one thing I didn't tell you, I just thought you knew not to do that.
Yeah.
I will tell you, 30 years of play, I've never seen someone lick a golf ball on the golf course.
Oh, I have.
I've never seen that.
I mean, I must have seen somebody do it, and that's why I started doing it. And then, you know, Patrick Winters, who I played with on Monday, he said he's been licking his golf balls his entire life.
Well, stop licking balls.
I said, stop, man.
I've seen people spit on the balls and rub them.
Yeah.
But not that.
Yeah. I've done that as well.
By the way, after every round of golf, you got to wash your hands, too.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
With all the chemicals that are out there, no doubt.
100%.
Yeah, that was scary times.
Yes,
there,
it was.
Hey, what's up, flies? This is David Spade.
Dana Carvey.
Look, I know we never actually left, but I'll just say it. We are back with another season of Fly on the Wall.
Every episode, including ones with guests, will now be on video. Every Thursday, you'll hear us and see us chatting with big-name celebrities.
And every Monday, you're stuck with just me and Dana. We react to news, what's trending, viral clips.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Back from vacation, talking to you, 888-808-1019 on this All-Star break week. Let's go back to these calls here and see what people got to talk about on this Monday morning. Eli in West Milford, what's going on, Eli?
Yo, Boomer and Geo, how you guys doing?
Eli, what's happening?
What up? Hey, so I would hire an armed guard any day to protect my house and my money. If there's dogs that are protecting it, I would just bring a couple of stakes, throw them over, and then do my thing. So yeah. Armed guards, always the way to go.
Yeah, you know what? That is a good point. Like a dog, dogs can be very, very smart. But when it comes to a stake, it's going to choose stake over everything else. Eddie, you disagree? You think that the dog will protect the house over eating the steak?
Well, one of the tests for the seeing eye dogs is the hamburger test, where they have to walk by an available hamburger or some other food item and not go for it and continue to guide their person.
Didn't they do that with you, too, the hamburger test?
Yes, I failed.
Make sure you need...
I understand what you're saying, Eli. I would just say that these dogs that I am talking about, specifically the Malinois, is a highly trained, I don't know how else to explain it. It is like a four-legged missile coming at you if it doesn't want you there.
And Fleegs is right. I mean, that guy got that idea from a cartoon because it's worked 100% in cartoons. Just throw one of those steaks over.
Right, a highly trained dog? Yeah. I would not risk my life on that.
No way.
All right. Let's go to Richie in East Islip, our pal Richie. What's up, Richie? How are you?
Gee, I'm rooting for you today.
Oh, thank you, man.
I'm looking at your scores here.
Yeah.
And I'm just going to have to say something to you because, you came into golf, you love it. You get a lot of invites to play really good places. When are you going to make the move and start becoming a better player? Because I'm looking at these scores, okay? And Boomer, I know that you're a decent player. I don't think you are as much as you are now, but at a time, you're probably a single-digit handicap, right?
Yeah, I'm a 9 right now.
Right, so what do you think is his weakness? What's the problem here? Why can't he get his scores in the lower 80s?
Well, I'll get there at some point, but I think, after only playing for a few years, being an 18-4 is not... not so bad. I mean, I mean, there's still people that, you know, played for longer, way longer than me that are in the 20s. I mean,
But Gio, you're into it now in a different way. And I know friends of yours who you play with over there and stuff. And I even say to them, what the hell's wrong? Why can't you guys help him get better?
I'll tell you his two biggest problems, if you want to know what they are.
Yeah,
his two biggest problems, Richie, are his chipping game needs to improve.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
And his putting game needs to significantly improve.
Does he switch putters a lot?
No,
I mean, he plays with the, what do you play with?
Yeah, the lab putter that's too expensive to give out.
That's not it. I mean, how about your tee ball? Are you in the fairway most of
the
time?
That's been the most improved thing I have.
That's what I'm telling you. He'll three putt or even four putt a couple of greens around. And I always tell him, I say, you could shave 6 to 8 strokes off your round if you just would become a better putter, which he has.
I mean, he watches Wally play and all these other guys play. They're all good players. I mean, he's got it.
Listen, I watch Peyton Manning play, and it doesn't mean I can be a quarterback. How are you playing?
Okay, I'll tell you what happened. When I was younger, I did the same thing, and what I did, I resonated to great players on the amateurs that I knew, and I had to get better, or they weren't going to take me. I wasn't going to be able to go to the other golf courses.
Well, yeah,
I
was just being left. You got a bad personality, though, Richie. That's the difference. People want to be around me, so they don't care. You had to get a good golf game to get the invite. I appreciate it. Maybe one day we'll play together. I think that would be fun.
I would like that, definitely. But good luck today, all right?
Thanks, man. I appreciate it.
I'm out there.
Yeah, good. Right, good talking to you, Richie. He's your classic, like, South Shore ball buster that you like. You know what I'm saying?
Sure, yeah.
He's like that. He's like every person that I grew up with.
You should go out and play Timber Point with him.
I would love to. I'd love to play with Richie, honestly. I mean,
I haven't played Timber Point.
Like, I thought he was a total psychopath, but then he met my wife in the grocery store and was very nice to her. So
that's a different story. Like, he's just busting your chops.
Oh, yeah,
he's, now he's going to be very nice to your wife.
Well, yeah, I would hope so. I would hope he'd not go up there and be rude and be done. Let's go to Spencer in Miami. What's going on, Spencer?
Boomer and Gio, happy Monday, guys.
Hey, Spencer, what's up, brother?
So, I don't know if you heard any of Joe B's stuff last week. He's flabbergasted by the fact that people can call in from other countries. He's like, oh, you're on summer vacation in where, bro? You calling me from Italy? Italy? What time is it in Italy? Oh, you're in Greece? You went to Iraq? How are you going to Iraq?
Spencer, I did not hear any of that. However, I did hear a clip of him bitching and moaning that he had to start his show at 5 o'clock, which is just, it's unbelievable. Like, he can't, there's nothing that makes him happy. So he's like, it is ungodly hour here at 5 o'clock. I'm starting a radio show. I don't know why I'm doing this, what the issue is. I don't know anybody out there, but Joe Beningo on at 5:15 in the morning here. So he's complaining about that. And then he said, one of the benefits here is I'm doing a show from my house, which he's sitting in a goddamn recliner doing a radio show, getting paid and bitching that he's on at 5 a.m. Anyway, so when he said he was going to retire all those years.
I was going to say, I thought he was so happy to retire.
I don't know. It's like, you know what? I love doing this, but I hate coming here. Okay, you don't have to come here. You can sit in your recliner. It still sucks. It's amazing. But anyway, he goes, one of the benefits that I have here is doing a show from home and sitting in my recliner is I can do the show with my cat on my lap. So the wonderful Dante is on my lap. Dante, if he could say hello, he would, but he does meows and not words. 888-808-1019. I did hear that clip.
Hey guys, Fly on the Wall is back for another season. That's right, on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.